You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. I'm here in beautiful Park City, Utah for Sundance Film Festival. I am in my Uber. Listen, you plan an hour in advance and it's still not enough. So I am never going to cancel the show. I have so many exciting guests today. Thanks. Shout out to my driver, Carlos, today. Thank you, Carlos, for having me here. And so the first guest today is Ron. Ron, welcome to the show. Ron Levin.
Thanks, Monique, for having me.
Thanks for being here. Absolutely. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers and tell us about your brand.
Absolutely. So I'm Ron Levin. I'm over in Boston, other side of the country here. So streaming coast to coast. And I am a managing partner at Alumni Ventures, which is the most active venture capital firm in the United States. We are actively raising capital from individual accredited investors and deploying them alongside of the leading venture capital to emerging technology startup companies across many different sectors, stages, and geographies. And I've recently written a book called Higher Purpose Venture Capital, which basically is my way of sharing how venture capital can do good for the world by helping to invest in very inspiring founders who are solving major societal problems, particularly around solving issues of social and wealth inequality, and trying to level the playing field for many more people in America and across the world.
Wow. And you're doing, you know, you're really doing some good work here. For those who don't know what venture capital is and they're in the startup space and maybe they will be going to scale their business and perhaps seek out venture capital, why don't you go ahead and go full screen, Sam, and let Ron explain what venture capital is and how people can seek him out.
Absolutely. So venture capital is one form of equity financing, essentially. It's a way that a business can raise capital to help them expand and grow a company. Most businesses need some kind of money to get started. Some people can do it with their own capital. Some people might need to borrow money from friends or family or a bank. Others seek what's called angel funding, which is early stage investors in emerging startup companies. Venture capital usually comes in once a company has already established itself and then is looking to grow. From a fairly early stage on up to later stage, anything sort of prior to going public. So venture capital firms, there are thousands of them across the country. They tend to invest in companies that are highly scalable, which often means they're driven by some form of technology. They can be software or hardware or biotechnology or lots of other different industries, but usually something that makes them highly scalable because venture capital investors like to invest in something that, if it goes well, can become a really big company like the Facebooks and Googles and Amazons of the world. Though not every company that receives venture capital, of course, will get that far. But the hope is that with the right amount of capital at the right stages of growth, companies will have the opportunity to achieve much more than they could just by sort of doing it organically on their own. So that's why an investor will come in, and investors are looking to get outsized returns, generally beating the public stock market, because it's a riskier form of investment. We understand that a lot of startups will fail, but we do our best to support companies that have a lot of promise, and we try to be helpful when whatever way we can be to help them keep growing to the next level. So there's thousands of companies across the country that are backed by venture capital, but not every company will raise venture capital or even needs to. But we do serve a segment, particularly those companies that are looking to really grow into major, hopefully one day even publicly traded companies.
Beautiful. So, Ron, why don't you tell us what is your ideal startup or medium to scale business that, you know, you're really looking for in Q1 and Q2 of 2024? What would really just make your investors happy, make you happy to level that, you know, inequity in the financial world and the startup world?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot that we look at. My team particularly is very active. We make more than one new investment every week. So we look for lots of different kinds of business models. I try to go to every conversation with an open mind. I expect to learn something new every time I talk to an entrepreneur. And a lot of the companies that I've invested in and that I've written about are indeed trying to solve some sort of inequity gap, a lot of it having to do with wealth inequality. So since you're in LA, I have to cite one of my favorite companies that I've invested in and written about, which is called Solo Funds, which is basically a marketplace for short-term low-interest loans, which is basically out to disrupt the whole payday lending industry. So if someone has an unexpected medical bill, auto repair, they might need a few hundred bucks, but only need it for 30 days, and they don't want to have to pay some usurious interest rate, they can go to a marketplace and find lenders that are willing to lend maybe just $100 for 30 days so that they can afford to pay an unexpected bill and get through maybe a tough time. So that's one example of something that I've invested in. But right now, everything is all eyes are on AI. So how is AI going to transform industries? I've invested in another AI-driven company in the education technology space called All Here, which works with inner city public schools and helps them connect with families to reduce student absenteeism using AI-based chatbots, for example. So there's a lot of really exciting technology. I think AI is going to transform a lot of what companies are doing today. And we're going to see really breakthrough innovation happening at a pace that's accelerating, particularly over the course of this year.
Wonderful. And so now I really would love for you to plug your business. Where can people follow you? Where can they support? And where can they even reach out to get support for their brand?
I appreciate that. So my firm is Alumni Ventures. We're av.vc for venture capital. So very easy website to find out about the different funds that we run. So if you're interested in either investing with us or have a startup that you might like to pitch to us, you can find information on how to do that there. Regarding my book and the which is called Higher Purpose Venture Capital, higherpurposevc.com will give you more information about the book and how to get a copy. And then lastly, I also blog. I call it the Higher Purpose Smorgasblog. It's a lot about startups and entrepreneurship and venture capital, but I sometimes talk about other topics as well that all have to do with hopefully making the world a little bit better place. So it's my name, ronlevin.substack.com to find the Higher Purpose Smorgasblog. So welcome your feedback if you wish to reach out about the blog, the book, adventure investing, or anything related to any of these topics.
Thank you so much for dealing with the traffic at Park City here at Sundance. And, you know, you plug in what you're doing. And I really love the title, The Smorgasbord. You know, it's really true. I mean, it sounds like you're incorporating a lot of brands that really could use visibility. Where last question for you, where do you find has the least visibility in the VC world that you really like to help? I love the payday loan idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of really important innovation happening in different areas. I can touch on a couple of them. I think there's really interesting things happening in the area of disability technology. I talk a lot about dealing with solving issues of inequality, and very often that has to do with race and gender and all extremely important issues that I try to highlight. But issues of, say, mental health and disability and general wellness and public health, trying to destigmatize mental health issues and neurodiversity issues, I think is very important and is an area that I hope more investors focus on, because there are a lot of incredible entrepreneurs out there with really clever ideas that I think have a chance of changing the world, making people's lives a lot better. So that's one area. There are many more around food security, housing. There's a lot more happening in that area. And it's not necessarily an area, housing, that venture capitalists think about, because you kind of wonder what's the technology angle. But there actually are some really clever ideas like accessory dwelling units, making more space available for low and moderate income families to live, that actually venture capital is supporting. So I'd encourage anyone who's interested in getting a breadth of ideas to pick up a copy of my book, because I touch on a lot of different areas where I think venture capital can be really helpful.
Let's plug that book one more time. It's a great gift for Valentine's Day. You don't even need to wait till Valentine's Day. It's a good book for any entrepreneur out there. Let's plug that. And where can we? Amazon, right? We can order
it. Absolutely. We're on Amazon. We have a paperback copy. I think it's on sale for under $20 now. There's also a Kindle version, which is only a few bucks. If you want the e-version, it's on a few other websites like Barnes & Noble as well. And if you just want to read up a little bit more on what the book is about and maybe my background, higherpurposevc.com is where you'll find that.
All right. Now, since I have you here, Ron, I've got five more minutes with you. Why don't you give us a few more tips on how to make a pitch deck, how to make a proposal really stand out from the rest and get funded?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. And not every entrepreneur kind of nails that, certainly on the first or second try. But I think if you're raising capital, particularly if you want to go out and raise from venture capital investors, think big. A couple of things that venture investors want to see are a big market size. So if this works, can you potentially be a $1 billion business? Are you serving a big enough market? And what is your defensibility? Are you doing something unique that hasn't been done before? Are you creating some kind of technology that really hasn't been done or hasn't been implemented in the right way? What's your specific strength and what are you doing that's going to be different from anyone else out there? And also, you know, highlight the team. You know, what drew you to this problem as a founder and anyone else who might be working on the idea? What's your unique skill set? How do you complement each other potentially as co-founders? Because the team is really everything. You know, there are lots of great ideas, but it always comes down to execution. So what's going to prove that you can get it done? So if you focus on the market, the product, the team, you know, you'll be off to a good start. And, you know, investors really want to hear big, big revolutionary ideas. We talk about moonshots and, you know, not every idea has to be quantum computing or something extremely technologically revolutionary. But we do like to see something that if it works, it can be really big. So just keep pushing those big ideas.
I love that. So let's get your handles one more time. I'll make sure everyone has them. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So find us at Alumni Ventures at av.vc. My blog is at ronlevin.substack.com, the Higher Purpose Smorgasblog. And my book, Higher Purpose Venture Capital, is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And you can read more at higherpurposevc.com.
Thank you so much for making time. And congratulations on your book. Congratulations on everything. And I hope to have you back. We would love to give you maybe another half an hour segment when we're not rushing around Sundance.
Thanks, Monique. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. All right. Have a good one. All right, you guys, that was Ron Levin. He's got something really great. So actually, you know, we've got our next guest here as I get settled in, guys. It's been a heck of a day. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to everyone that supported the show and us traveling. This show is real, guys. You're seeing me do this in real time. I finally made it back here. I want to give a shout out to everyone who's helped make this trip possible. And, you know, really this last minute thing we've done to come here and network, you know, and try to get this film picked up. So I want to say thank you to some of our sponsors. Everyday Soul Dances, Elaine Holm. This is her beautiful book. You can get this on Amazon. This is a really great guide for balance and all things wellness in 2024 and beyond. I also would like to give a shout out to some of the sponsors in the swag bag for our adventures here at Sundance. So I'm going to actually show you what we gave everybody on the street team here. We were, you know, networking and giving out goodie bags. And I want to just give a shout out to some of the sponsors here. Iron Lace Jewels, Everyday Soul Dances, the Pandemic Film, of course, which is my film, Fly Wines, and Michael Solberg Family Wines, of course, and Vacalera Studios. I hope I didn't butcher that, everybody, but I'll actually tag them on social media. I was walking around, you know, sharing some love and really just speaking to people about their projects, about what they have going, and getting feedback about ours. So that's why we're kind of running around today, and it happens to be my birthday. So, you know, we don't, no rest for the hardworking here, but I'm excited for our next guest. I don't really see the chat here, but I think we have him. Jim, hello, James, there he is. How are you, sir?
Oh, hello.
We made it happen.
I did, and I'm so glad that you're having me on. I can't tell you that, you know, I was all ready to go last week, and the link never got to me. It got out, but it didn't get to me. So I'm sorry about that. But thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, my goodness. It's absolute pleasure to meet you on VE Meet You. And yeah, I'm here in Park City freezing my tail off, James. But I'm excited to be in your presence. And I want to wish you all the best in 2024. I don't think people really understand who we have here. So I'd like to go full screen and give you the opportunity to introduce yourself and your book.
Thank you very much. My name is Jim Brosnahan. I tried cases in civil and criminal courts and in appeals, including the U.S. Supreme Court, for 60 years. And I wanted to write a book that takes the reader into the excitement of trials and important appeals. And I hope that I have succeeded in doing that. The name of the book is Justice at Trial. And what I did, James J. Brosnahan is my name, and I took 19 of my cases and wrote about them as civil, criminal, murder, presidential cover-ups, testimony against William Rehnquist, who was going to be the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, the two cases I argued in the U.S. Supreme Court. But what I did, I got very good advice when I started, which was, it's not about you. It's about the reader. What does the reader get out of this? And I worked very hard for 3 years and 11 months of editing to take the reader into specific situations where very often other people were the heroes, not me, but other people. And so that's the book. And it's been out since July. It's doing well. It is selling. And I'm on LinkedIn. And I've actually been able to contact a whole lot of people that I've known over the years. And so that's my story. I have this book. It's written for the general reader. I don't think there's a legal term in the book. I tried not to have any. I tried it to, as though I was talking to a jury, which I did, as they say, many times, and to entertain them and to make it a good read. So that's my story.
Wow, James. And I want to pronounce your name correctly, Brosnahan?
Yeah, you have it. That's right, Jim Brosnahan. Yep.
Okay. Well, listen, you know what? You did well, and I'm not quite done with it, but I would like to share some of the highlights, some of the reviews you've received. And this is for anyone that's looking to get into the legal business or likes, you know, to listen to cases. I mean, this is really, the demographic of reader is quite broad. But here's some things that you've gotten some feedback from. The professor at Harvard Law School, Lawrence Tribe, from
yes.
Carl M. Loeb University, said, "A lawyer's lawyer in the best possible sense. A lion, not just of the trial bar, but of law. James J. Brosnahan has finally written the memoir every lawyer will want to read." They go on to say, "Decorated, celebrated, beloved, Jim is the truly rare master of both civil and criminal litigation who is also a great human being."
Amazing. Well, that was so kind of him to write that. I have gotten a number of reviews, including reviews in various magazines and so forth, that say very nice things about the book, and I appreciate that. I think the law is a very important thing, and understanding it, I think, is worth the effort. What happens in criminal courts, for example? What is a murder case really like? I appreciate that we hear all the time on television about trials and what's happening. But what is it really like inside? What is going on? Are there times when judges are the heroes? Are there times when clients are the heroes? For example, I represented a man who, if I may, was in jail for 17 years for an arson murder that he did not commit. And I was asked by the Innocence Project to try his murder case for his defense, because the federal court had held that he should have a new trial. And I got ready for that trial. We were able to eliminate certain evidence because it wasn't reliable. And finally, the prosecutor said one day, he said, if he will admit he did the murder, I will let him out this afternoon. This is a man who's been in jail for 17 years. And I said, I don't think he'll go for it. And I went to him and I said to him, this is what they offer you. You can leave jail today. And he said to me, and this is more fully described in the book. He said, I will either die in jail or I'll be exonerated. Now, that's a person of enormous courage.
Yes.
And in fact, as I suspected, the prosecutor was ready to just let him go. And that he did. And he came out. It was one of the most exciting moments your readers could imagine. And he had civilian clothes on for the first time in 17 years. He had always worn shackles every time I saw him, and he didn't have the shackles. And he came out, and he gave me a hug, and he said, you did it. And I said, no, you did it. And he did. He was a man of enormous courage. By the way, his sister stuck with him 17 years. Everybody should have a sister like that. I really think they should, because she never thought for a minute that he did an arson. And by the way, it wasn't even an arson. The evidence that it was an arson was faulty and wrong. So that's one of the cases.
That's a beautiful story of resilience and holding to one's ethical standard and going, you know, what's it like to say that you did something so horrific when you did it? I really value that kind of self-respect. And I'm interested, James, Jim, which one do you prefer?
Jim, thank you.
Okay, yes, because, you know, I want to. So how did you get into this? Were you naturally always looking to be an advocate for the person that needed, you know, that voice? Were you always a lion for the person that needed help? How did that come about for you?
Well, it came about. I started as a federal prosecutor, which I did for 5 years. And sometimes the victims are the people, very often when you're a prosecutor, the victims are the people that you focus on. And one of my first trials was a trial to prosecute the murderer of a 14-year-old girl on the Navajo reservation who was killed by a white man who was trying to thumb a ride on Route 89 in the Navajo reservation, 75 miles east of Flagstaff, Arizona, out in the middle of the reservation. And at that time, that was very early in my career, the discrimination against Native Americans was very strong. And so picking that jury, as I describe in the book, was very important. I've got several murder cases. I've got each case is different. And that's one of the things about law that I was able to hopefully explain. Each case is very different. For example, there was a presidential cover-up, and I prosecuted Caspar Weinberger, who was the Secretary of Defense, because he lied to a joint committee of Congress. This is the Secretary of Defense, and he lied to FBI agents. And the story of that is very interesting, and how it happens, and the pressure on him. Once President Reagan, and that's who it was, lied to the nation about whether he had ordered missiles to be sent to Iran. It was called Iran-Contra. It was a while ago. But what happens in a presidential cover-up? What happens to the people immediately in the presence of the president when he orders something like that? What are they supposed to do? In a way, Weinberger was a captive of being an important person in the administration. And I talk about presidential cover-ups. I talk a lot about getting a lawyer because thousands of people in our country can't get a lawyer. They go to court without lawyers. And I've been working on that. I don't want to tell you how many years I've been working on that issue, but it's a lot of years. And there are still many, many people that, for example, in some situations, they might be fighting for custody of their child, and they go to court without a lawyer. And that's not right. It's just not right. So some of us, many actually lawyers, and very often the lawyers are heroes. I don't know if the reading public is ready for that, but there's so many lawyers that spend their whole life working for people who don't have poverty and other things or problems. There's times when you sit in a holding cell talking to your client, and there's nobody else that wants to talk to that person. And so you're kind of like a rabbi or a priest or a minister. You're the only one they can talk to. So a lot of lawyers are doing that every day, and I convey that in the book. It is a memoir. I tell the story, but there's a lot of other heroes in the book.
Jim, thank you for sharing this, and thank you for putting this together. I am so excited to finish it. I actually think, like I said before at the top of your segment, anyone that's interested in law, that interested in these trials that you've gone through, I think anyone just interested in how the system works, I know we have 3 minutes left in your segment, but in this election year and having this nation be so divided with many different points of view, and, you know, we've got loved ones that might not agree with us. And I find that you writing this and just keeping it black and white, proof for evidence with receipts, will help maybe lead a conversation of finding some common ground with our loved ones, right?
I'm hoping. I'm hoping it will do that. There is a personal story there. My wife and I were in law school together. She was one of 9 women in our law school. And one of the other women was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who, of course, served on the U.S. Supreme Court. And so we guys decided to, if I may tell you this very short story, we decided that we had to have a cook. And we also decided we shouldn't date the cook because it would just get messy. I mean, we'd, you know, there'd be a fight and we'd lose the cook or something. And we just all agreed rather formally, these law students, that we wouldn't try to date the cook. We got engaged 3 weeks later, and we got married 3 weeks after that. And we've just had our 65th wedding anniversary. And she was a judge for 40 years in Alameda County in San Francisco. So there are parts of the book that are a real memoir and luckiest thing that ever happened to me. I mean, there were 525 law students. How can I put this? And she picked me, you know, 65 years ago. So that's the big story of our family, I guess.
Wow. This is awesome. I love the love story. It sounds like you really were truly on your path. Thank you for dropping knowledge. Thank you for all your help in gender discrimination, freedom of the press, voting rights, refugees, sexual harassment, false imprisonment. Thank you so much for the tribal laws and the tribal justice, and just thank you for being who you are, and let's have you back on. We need to have you back on sometimes, Jim.
I would love it. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You're welcome anytime. All right, you guys, that's Jim Brosnan. Okay, this book, Justice at Trial, get into it. It's only got, let's see how many pages it's got. I'm still cracking it open, guys. It's got less than 300 pages, so get into this. Sam, do we have our next guest in the wings? Ashley Joy Boyd. Welcome to the startup, Ashley. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm amazing. How are you? Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you for remembering, girlfriend. My toes are a little frozen, but I'm here in Park City for Sundance, and thank you for joining us on a Sunday. Yes. Let's go full screen. Yes, let's go full screen. Why don't you tell the listeners and the viewers who you are?
Absolutely. My name is Ashley Joy Boyd, and I am the author of Financially Fly, Mastering Money and Wealth for Women, which is a book that focuses on financial literacy for women. I wrote this book because I feel like still in this day and age, financial literacy is such a taboo topic among some women. And I just wanted to open up the door for conversation, for engagement, for women to really have a thorough understanding of how to become financially free.
I think that this is a very timely book, you know, as we go into Q1, we're in Q1, and things are shifting, right? We're seeing the ecosystem of startups and people, if you're looking at the numbers and who's really adding, you know, a value add to the community, we're seeing women of color, we're seeing women, we're just stepping into our prime, I feel. All the work from the 60s is coming to fruition. How did you get started? And give us a little bit of tips, some tips for those who are looking to get in this space.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. There's definitely a shift. And I feel like women are just pushing. They're pushing the line so tremendously. Most of the businesses that have been started in the last, you know, couple of years, majority of them are women of color. And we are just thriving in that area right now. I got started in the entertainment industry. I'm born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, product of an entertainment household. My mom was a singer. My dad managed the group. I got a little bit of both the entertainment and the business growing up. And I fell in love with the business side. Fast forward a few years, I was offered a record deal, which I accepted. I was an artist with Universal Records for a bit. And I fell in love with the entertainment industry so much. Currently, I am a songwriter. I own a music publishing company. And it's just been my experiences in, you know, meeting amazing women across the country and in and out of this industry where I realized that our finances are not something that we talk about openly and freely. And I wanted to take time in the book to really make sure people understand their relationship with money. I wanted to make sure that people understood that the people that they are surrounded by directly affects their success. You know, your network is your net worth. So, I have an entertainment background, and you may know a song that I wrote, Justin Bieber's Yummy. Are you familiar with that song?
What do you mean? Of course. That's a hit. That's a jam. You wrote that?
I did. I wrote that with my husband, who is also a songwriting legend, Pooh Bear. He's been in the industry for over 25 years now. He's an amazing songwriter as well. But we co-wrote that one together.
Okay. Talk about couple goals, girlfriend.
Yes.
I love speaking in this space, right? Your network truly is. I didn't learn that, honestly, until the last 12 to 24 months. Where I look at my network and I'm like, okay, who can I help? Who can help me? How can I leverage what I've already worked on? And you're right. So let's get into it. We have about 7 more minutes in your segment. Let's get into this, right? So let's say you're a startup, you're scaling to mid-size, mm-hmm. and you're looking at your money. You got cash coming in and you got cash going out. Mm-hmm. How can someone, anyone, men, women, everybody here, how can they take some money from their income after they've paid their balance sheet, you know, they've looked at the balance sheet and they've got working capital, maybe it's not a lot. How can they not be overwhelmed and take a little bite of the sandwich and really save away for, you know, for the things that matter to them?
You know, I always encourage people to add themselves to their list of expenses. Make sure that you pay yourself. Put yourself at the top of that list. You know, I think it should be, you know, an unnegotiable. I feel like you have to take time and you have to value yourself. You have to pay yourself first. Now, whatever your numbers are, I know it varies for everybody, but I feel like if you assess your business, your income at the beginning of the year, you figure out what works. You may need to readjust and reassess a couple times during the year, but I think that it is so important to take time to pay yourself first so that you can, you know, you can use the account for whatever you please. That's the joy. When you take time and you pour into yourself, it's up to you how you spend that particular money. So I'm really big on making sure that things are allocated properly and structured properly so that you can see what's coming and what's going. But yeah, absolutely. I think paying yourself and not missing that payment. Treat it like it's going to show up on your credit report. Don't miss the payment.
Great, great advice, because I never thought of treating it like I'm a line item, right? Because you do, because you have to. But treating yourself as if I've got to pay this, just like I've got to pay my vendors or I've got to pay my overhead. What a great way to honor yourself and push the whole concept forward, the whole reason why you're in business. Yes. Beautiful piece of simple advice. Why didn't I think of that?
I want to touch back on what you said also, like with the people that you surround yourself with, no matter what level you're at, you know, if you are in position to be a mentor to somebody, I think it's so important to pour back into people and to inspire people who are on the same path. I think it's important to have people that you look up to, but also when you're in position, pour back into the community, pour back into just the demographic that you come from. So people know that everything is possible.
Great, great, great. So let's plug this book again. I don't have my copy yet, Ashley. I'm sure it's in the mail, girlfriend.
It's in the mail.
Oh, real close to the screen. Let's go full screen. Let's
absolutely. This is Financially Fly.
It's gorgeous. You're welcome. Do you want to crack it open and just read us a little bit of the foreword, maybe?
Oh, absolutely. Let's get to it. Okay. All right. This is about my upbringing. All my life, I have been a girl's girl. Since I was young, I've been inspired by stylish, affluent female bosses whose confidence and sophistication entered the room before they did. My mother, Donna D, was a jewelry designer, and we owned a gorgeous jewelry gallery in Detroit, Michigan. If you know anybody from Detroit, odds are they take fashion seriously. The who's who of our city frequently came to shop with my mom, and as an aspiring fly girl, I was always so fascinated at how easily these women would spend thousands of dollars on jewelry on a whim. My mother's jewelry line was expensive. It was a labor of love and definitely worth every penny. But in life, jewelry has never been a necessity. It's a luxury good. My mom's clients knew well before they walked into our store what they were prepared to spend. I recognized these women to be self-sufficient and in a financial position to do a little extra for themselves on occasion. That was such a flex. It registered to me how being in control of your finances was a special type of freedom of the utmost importance. It was then that I decided it was not going to be enough just for me to grow up and be fly. I wanted to be financially fly, meaning financially free to spend my money on my heart's desires, whether it be investments, travel, or some irresistible jewelry.
Wonderful. I love it. I can't wait to get my hands on this book. Yes. I want to be financially fly. I know that the listeners here at the startup need and want to be financially fly. Yes. And let's get a copy. Let's support this book, you guys. Let's make this an early Valentine's Day gift. Or if you're anti-Valentine's, let's make this an early financially fly gift for yourself or your loved one. And are you selling on Amazon, Ashley?
Yes, I am selling both on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Congratulations. And we got to have you down for Oscars week. I think you should get around the entertainment business and get some financially fly in their hands.
I would love that. Yes. Please keep me posted.
Yes, I will reach out to your people. Thank you so much for taking time on a Sunday and have a beautiful rest of your weekend.
I appreciate you so much. Have an amazing birthday.
Thank you, dear. All right. Ashley Joy Boy, financially fly. I think we have one or two other guests. So if they're both here, we can put them both on the screen. If not, we can put one and then go from there. But if not, I want to just plug my sponsors here. Fly Wines. Speaking of being fly, Fly Wines, guys, scan this QR code. Get into the Fly Wines Club. Shout out to Stephanie there. Also, guys, if you haven't seen our trailer, The Pandemic Project and The Pandemic Film, you can scan this QR code here. You can also go to our Instagram at Monique Larae Stinson. That's my personal. It's in the link in the bio. You can also go to at The Pandemic Film, at The Pandemic Project Documentary. And the third one will be The Endemic Project Documentary. Also, some of the sponsors that helped us out for this weekend. We got these swag bags that we were giving out with some of their goodies. I'd like to you know, give a shout out to Bacalera Studios. Thank you, Omar, for making these cards. Everyday Soul Dances with Elaine Holm. Get this on Amazon. It's a great journaling inspiration on how to tie in balance and energy. And at the end of each chapter, she's got a contemplation, which is really great. You can actually scan the QR code and write and journal your thoughts so you can retain the information that she's giving you, which is really great. But again, I love that she's incorporating QR codes in this book. All right. Also, I want to give a shout out to Iron Lace. Can't see it here. She makes a beautiful handcrafted jewelry that she uses really different elements and different materials. Iron Lace. So it's kind of edgy, but it's got some lace to it. Thank you, Michael Solberg Family Wines. A shout out to just everybody who's supported us. I do want to thank, I think it was Bianca down at the front desk here at the Marriott. Thank you so much for my welcome gift. I'll post it and tag you. They treated me so great here at the Marriott. So if you're ever in town in Park City, check them out. Sam, unless we've got someone else, I'll just continue to plug away. Guys, it was so fun today. I was down in Main Street checking out all the goodies. There was a lot of talks, you know, a lot of filmmaker talks. There is a film called wildhope.tv. Thank you for the goodies here. I like that they, you know, how cool. You know, you got to get creative with your branding, guys. You got to get, you know, get out there and do some stuff. We even did some branding here where we did a little wine keychain, and we actually gave them a little wine cork keychain for Michael Solberg Family Wines and the Pandemic Project documentary. Thank you for that. Let me go through this bag since we're waiting for our next guest. And it's Sunday. You know how that goes, guys. There was such a cute little, I was walking down and I was kind of hungry just for a little snack. And it was perfect because there was a hash brown truck. And I love it because Napoleon Dynamite was celebrating 20 years of their film. And they gave me hash browns and this beautiful sweatshirt. Thank you so much, Napoleon Dynamite. Love the film. I can't believe it's been 20 years. Again, guys, I want to thank Bacalera Studios. And they did these beautiful cards for us. If you need any graphics, if you need a website, Omar is the guy to talk to. I got a mug. Let's see, Jack Wolfskin. Okay, cool. I got a mug. Thanks, guys. I got so many treats in my bag. This lady gave me this beautiful chocolate bar, Tony's Chocolate Only. Thanks, Tony's. lots of cool gifts here. Tony's, these little chocolate bits. I'm a salt girl, but thanks again. Again, AC Hotels Marriott, thank you so much for rolling out the and giving me an upgrade. I got a really nice room. I will tag you guys. So lots of goodies in the bag. And yeah, so you guys, again, if you can hit that like button, if you go to YouTube and you type in the Pandemic Project documentary, you'll see our award-winning and 10-time nominated trailer. Again, I broke all the rules at 7 minutes and 47 seconds, I believe, in the film. I also want to say thank you to Jim Bronsnahan for writing this fantastic book, Justice at Trial. It's a memoir. I mean, he really, everything in here, he lived. So, hey, I love it. I ran into some really interesting people today. I'll tag them on social media and on my story. Again, if you guys don't know what the Pandemic Project documentary is and the Pandemic film, which is the second film in our 3-film trilogy, it's about documenting us. It's not a political film at all. It is from everybody's everyday people's mouths and testimonials about their life in this once in 100 year event. I know we're all burned out on it. Maybe it's a good time capsule piece that you can look back on later when you're not burnt out on it. But it was really, really a good time to run around the country. Shout out to Christopher John, shout out to Gentry Stanley, and everybody who helped make that happen for the first film. And the second film is the international version, okay? And it's kind of like a scary movie. I got the horror kind of vibe going. Hopefully someone's in the wings, but if not, we can still chat a few more minutes. And then I've got to get to my birthday dinner, you guys. It is snowing outside. I think it's like 28 degrees here in Park City. If you haven't come and you want to stay, make sure you come down to the AC Marriott here in Park City. I don't know if you can see their code, but you can scan their QR code here. Tell them Monique Larray from the Startup with Monique Larray sent you. Ask for Bianca. She's awesome, and she's really good at what she does here. You guys got a really good one there. I got a little welcome basket. It's on this side. I can't show it to you, but thank you for making me feel at home. It's my second year here kind of hustling my film and, you know, just networking and really trying to get the word out about the films. It's a challenge to get it in the film festival here. So a shout out to all the people who are festing, who are featured this year in 2024 at Sundance. I think that this is a huge congratulations is in order. I know how hard it can be. And for all of you who are here, shortly after, you see a lot of people get distribution for their films. So shout out to everyone who's made it here. I was speaking in the lobby with someone who had their son's film that made it here. So I'm really excited for that. And maybe that'll be me one day, guys. So if you guys get those likes up on YouTube, again, here's our QR code right here at the bottom. Let me hold it up. Scan that, you guys. Shout out to Rexo Exo. Thank you for, he's got some music in the film. He's really talented. I asked him to do a song about the pandemic, and just he freestyled and he probably made that song within 3 days, I think. So he's a really talented rapper. His name is Xavier Caldwell. He goes by Rexo Exo, spelled just like it sounds. You can check him out on all platforms, YouTube. I think he's on Spotify now. He called and told me he's got his channel. I think he's dropped a full album. Shout out to you, Rexo Exo. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Let's talk about Fly Wines real quick. If you use this code, you guys, you get free wine. So who doesn't like free wine? Exclusive wines from independent wineries around the world. They joined us at our table for the Emmys Week. Fly Wine. So if you see this logo, tell them Monique Larray from the Startup with Monique Larray sent you. They're on TikTok, Instagram. Scan this code and get some free wine, you guys. Just in time for Valentine's Day. I think that's all. I think we've covered it. Now, next week, we have a full show. Next week, we've got some great guests as well. Let's see. Oh, we've got a skincare brand coming. Oh, we've got a doctor coming. Oh, we've got a lot of great guests coming next week as well. But thank you, guys. If you want to support the channel, you can click on Venmo and send support there at the Startup with Monique Larray. It's a donation. We appreciate your support. We are sponsor and independent, and this is our fifth. We're going into our fifth year on the air. Sam has put up with me for 5 years. I don't know how he does it. Send Sam some love at LA Talk Radio. Sam, I don't know if you're accepting donations and love, but I'm sure you will. thank you again for creating this independent, a free thinking platform for entrepreneurs like myself and people who come on. And I'm really excited to see what 2024 holds. Thank you for all your beautiful birthday wishes. I haven't gotten to respond because it's been a busy day. I'll probably get back to everybody tomorrow. I was overwhelmed. My phone was dinging, dinging, dinging. So again, thank you for the love and the support. But guys, please forget the shout outs. All I need you to do is scan this code on the bottom right, hit that like button in the middle. It's going to give you three things. Hit the middle button for the trailer. Hit that like button. Leave a comment. I don't care what you say. I want to hear your opinion. And as usual and as always, thank you again for your support and listening and watching our channel. What will you start up today? I will see you guys next week. Stay safe and have a good Sunday. Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Larray, only on LA Talk Radio.